Jonathan, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Ready for some football? Let's get to
That's
it here.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. Let's get to the Roger Goodell stuff. Maybe you could shed some light on this. One of the things that people were critical of Roger's press conference was they didn't feel he offered enough transparency. Can you explain why he could only say what he did, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's my opinion. I haven't talked to him since the press conference. I think what Roger was doing on Friday when he met the press was he wanted to come out in public, make a statement, and try to answer questions the best he could. There's a process going on now that's investigating everything that went on, and I think a lot of the questions that people want to have answered will be answered. They'll be answered, though, at the end of the process, and I think if Roger had spoken publicly about those things, it would preempt what's going on. I think they want the process to play out independently, the investigation of what has already taken place and can't be changed. And when that investigation is over, the answers that I think people were hoping to get to specifics will come out. I think the second part of the press conference that Roger talked about was, while the investigation of what's already happened takes place, we're not going to wait to take steps to use the position that the NFL has to try to make a difference. And I know some people will hear that and they'll say, oh, those are words, and I get it, people are angry. But the fact that since the video became public almost two weeks ago now, the calls to the National Domestic Violence Hotline are up over 80%. And I would make the assumption that they're up because of the visibility that's been brought to the issue through the unfortunate circumstances that have involved one of our players, and one of our players in particular, but a number of other instances. And so we heard about that and made a donation to that of $25 million, not to appease anything, not to do anything, but realizing that we have a platform and we can use that platform now as we move forward to try to help raise awareness, provide solutions, and take care of things. It doesn't mean that what happened in the past was right. It's not. But we're going to get answers to the things that people want to see answered. And in the interim, while that process is going on, we're going to try to do what we can to help improve the situation in the country going forward, as well as also increasing the education within our league.
Can you speak to the independence / credibility of Robert Mueller, who of course was a part of the FBI, ran the FBI for a while? He's in charge of the investigation, and as you said, there's only so much that Goodell can talk about because of the investigation, because there are a lot of people who are pointing to his ties in a lot of different areas of his former work life that people automatically question.
Look, when you're the head of the FBI, I've never met Mr. Mueller, but when you're the head of the FBI for the longest term ever, I think it's like 12 years, and you served under two presidents, George W. Bush and Barack Obama, who might be the most diametrically opposed presidents that we've had, or pretty close to it, and you can serve in a highly charged political environment in a very important job, I think it speaks to how people view your abilities. That said, he works at a law firm that I guess has done some work for the league. I was unaware of it, and people will always have that question. I think it would be hard to find a person with that curriculum vitae working in the world today in a law firm or doing anything else that didn't have some ties to the NFL, just because of the scale of our business and the 32 teams and our business partners. It's just a lot of people who use a lot of law firms. But I believe he's credible from everything I've read, and I believe the league very much wants this to be an independent, true investigation that gets to the bottom of everything.
No one has ever said a bad thing about Roger Goodell up until this controversy. So, in your opinion, why has ownership across the board maintained confidence in him? Why have they supported him? What have they seen in him that would prevent them from asking for his resignation?
Well, we talked about this, I think, a little last week. When Roger became commissioner, the transparency in the league office and what takes place at meetings and around issues went up dramatically. It really did. It rose to a new level. I've known Roger for over 20 years. I've never not only heard him not be truthful, but he doesn't even obfuscate. When there are tough issues, he deals with them. We started the interview last week, and I read from the letter he sent out on the 28th. I think he realized before that video came out and before the spotlight that's come on to this incident since the video that showed Ray Rice and his wife in the elevator, he and the spotlight that was shown on that raised the awareness and the discussion around the country. He had already come out and said, I got it wrong, and we have to do better in this issue. We're held to a higher standard. And, you know, you look at the criminal justice system, and people are right to criticize and question the way they're questioning us. The criminal justice system in the state of New Jersey, who did have the video, he wasn't convicted of anything. He was allowed to walk. And I personally believe this, that's something we need to think about, too, because that blows me away. It doesn't absolve us of anything, and I'm not saying that. But hopefully now the whole issue gets raised to a level that in this country things like that can't happen, period. And we at the league need to set a standard going forward, and hopefully we'll be able to do that.
All right, on to some football here, because we've only got a few minutes left. It's the home opener. It's the Raiders, and you will forever be linked in history with them in so many ways. But to finally get back home, it's weird to have two on the road to open up the year. Normally it's staggered a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't had that in a while, at least that I can recollect. But it's great. Driving in here this morning, it's awesome coming to Gillette and have an opening day here. And
I think the team needs it.
I agree. It feels like a long time since we've been on this field, and opening up against the Raiders, where there's so many memorable games and the rivalry, it's great. It really is.
And of course, when you think of the Raiders, you think of Al Davis.
I do. You know what else? I think of roughing the passer and the snowball. And even the playoff game, that divisional playoff game in 86, which got us to the AFC Championship game. But then, absolutely, you have to think of Al. And this is the first time we're playing the Raiders since Al passed away.
You know, and Tom Flores, who we had earlier, said that, you know, that was still a fumble.
Oh, yeah, they're still...
Well, today it would be, because the tuck rule doesn't exist. But back then it wasn't, so... Mark Davis was up with us in the office beforehand, and... He looked at the Super Bowl 36 trophy that's up there, and Mark said, you know, that's our trophy.
His old man would have busted the glass and tried to take the damn
Al
thing.
Would never, Atlas, Al was a great guy. Al wouldn't have come up. Mark's a wonderful guy. Al was a unique and special guy that I really feel privileged to have had the chance to know a little.
Any Al memories?
I tell you, my two greatest Al Davis memories, I have three in chronological order. When I got married back in 95, Al called me that week to congratulate me, and he asked where I was going on the honeymoon, and I said we were going to Asia. And he said, are you stopping over in L.A.? They were still the L.A. Raiders. I said, yeah. He said, how long is your layover? I said, we have about 6 hours. He said, I'm sending a driver to pick you and your wife up. Come have dinner with me in my office. So we drove to the Raiders. A guy picked us up in a white Raiders jumpsuit. Wasn't Al. Drove us in a white Cadillac, and we had dinner in Al's office. It was steak. That was it. It was just steak. There were no choices. It was classic Al, and we had it was a wonderful way to spend our first night as a married couple, Patty and I, talking football. And then I think the next one is the first time we played the Raiders after we bought the team in the old Foxborough Stadium. I think it was the fall of 95 or 96. But James Hetfield, the lead singer in Metallica, and I, well, we're still friends, but back then, before wives and kids, we were better friends or saw each other more. He was a huge Raiders fan, and he and his then-girlfriend, now wife, flew in for the game, and he had never met Al, and so he really wanted to meet him. And I wouldn't normally go into another team's locker room after the game, but we were looking for Al, and I brought James in, and I said, Al, you know, this is James Hetfield, lead singer of Metallica. He's like, I know who he is, heavy metallic. Yeah. And he walked over to the offensive lineman. He, at least he knew this. He goes, you guys like my friend here, right, James, from Heavy Metallic. And that's the second good story. And the last one is we played out in Oakland. It was after my mom had passed away, and they were kind enough to have a moment of silence for her. And Al was a special guy, and if you love football and you had the privilege to know him, you feel fortunate, really fortunate.
All right, Jonathan, we'll talk to you again next week. Primetime football. Enjoy the home opener.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
Jonathan Kraft, president of the Patriots.